929 in your pew Bibles. Jonah goes to Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, friend. We're going to pray for Andrew. If you feel so inclined, extend a hand this way. That's just saying you're praying with him. It's nothing weird or mystical. It's just saying, actually, I'm standing with Andrew. Father, as Andrew opens your word to us this morning, would you bless him? Would you take his hard-won workings out of this and transform them for your glory? Would you let your word rest in our ears and our heart? And thank you that Andrew is willing to stand here and do this and share from his goodness and share from the way that you have invested in him. Bless him, Father, as he speaks, and heal his leg in your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Just going to move and stand on the carpet just because it's a little bit more comfortable. And I don't think the 3 inches will make too much difference to you seeing me. Might have done if it was Karen up here speaking, but not me. Here we are, Jonah chapter 3. This is just such a fantastic, but in our church Bibles, it's literally just on 2 pages. As you open the Bible, it's there. And it's an amazing story. I remember the first time I really got in deep in the book of Jonah, we were at All Nations Christian College. We had a tutor called Bill Houston, a fantastic guy, South African, really involved in the apartheid struggle in those times. Such a dear chap and such a gracious man. And he opened this book to us, and it was the first time we'd really sort of tried this sort of inductive form of theology. He got us just to print it out on a piece of paper and just to really do a little bit like what some of you have been involved in when you've done precept. And it was just such a fantastic getting to grips with this book of Jonah. And it's great that we've been able to do that again as a church. We're going to look at chapter 3, but inevitably it is a story and it all fits together. It didn't have chapters when Jonah wrote it. It was just his testimony of what happened in his life. And it'd be great to go home and just read it. It literally is just on 2 pages. Just read it as a story, as a testimony of what God did in someone's life. We're going to look at the man Jonah. We're going to look at his message, and we're going to look at mission. So man, message, mission. If you don't remember anything else, hopefully that will click with you when you get home. And this, again, is a series about what we're doing about we're in God's hands. So, the man, Jonah. Just some of this has already been said, but it's good for those that are here for the first time, getting into Jonah when we're in chapter 3. We have had 1 and 2, so sorry about that. You need to go home and look at those 2 chapters, and that'll fill you in. But I'll try and just go over a little bit of it. So, Jonah lived and ministered at the time when Joash was king of Judah and Jeroboam was king of Israel. And he reigned from 793 BC to 753 BC. So, this is the sort of period of time when Jonah was ministering. You can find that information in 2 Kings 14:25. That's when Jonah's first mentioned. Jonah was a real character. It's not a myth. He was a person in the history of Israel. Kings is part of the history story of Israel. And it probably happened, this story, before 612, because if you read Nahum, which is another prophet that prophesied about Nineveh, Nineveh was completely destroyed in the year 612. So this obviously happened before that. So we can actually fit it into a slot in history. Jonah is an amazing story in the Old Testament. The reason for that is the Old Testament's all about Israel. It's Israel's story. It's God's plan of redemption for her. Yet here we have this story about a people outside of Israel. Not only outside of Israel, but we heard when Dave spoke to us on chapter one, these were the enemies of Israel. These were the people that were going to take Israel into captivity. And yet here we have this amazing story about the Ninevites, not about Israel. The only mention of Israel in the whole of the book of Jonah is the fact that Jonah is a Hebrew. Other than that, Israel doesn't get a mention. God cared for this foreign city. God is gracious and compassionate. You'll come on to that next week when Mike King and the youth speak about God's grace and compassion. This city was full of idol worshippers, but God was gracious and compassionate, and he wanted his message to be slotted into this city as well. Jonah was in God's hands. How do we know that? He was a prophet. He was God's spokesperson and spoke out against the sin of Jeroboam, king of Israel. He was not a particularly good king. Jonah had been chosen by God to be a prophet. He was God's spokesperson. So we know Jonah was in God's hands. We know Jonah gives himself a bit of a bad write-up in this story. He's honest about what happened in his life. But actually, before this story, he was a prophet speaking into the situation in Israel in Jeroboam's reign. He'd given himself to the word of the Lord. How do we know that? Because he hears God. We see that in verse 1, and we see it in the first verse of this chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah was used to listening to God's voice. He put himself in a position where he could hear God and knew God's voice. I love the honesty of the Bible in representing its characters. It doesn't try and gloss over people, does it? Just about every character you read of it in the Bible, whether it's Moses saying he doesn't want to talk to Pharaoh because he can't speak, whether it's Jeremiah saying he's too young, whether it's any of the disciples and all the stuff that went on in their lives, whether it was James and John who were angry and wanted to call down fire on people if they spoke out against them. The Bible doesn't disguise any of this stuff, and it doesn't disguise Jonah's character either, does it? It shows him warts and all. But Jonah shows us that no one is excluded from being used in his plan and bringing his message. How would we describe Jonah as a character? Well, I've actually called upon A.A. Milne to help me with this. We're going to have a little look at a short YouTube clip. If Liz gets it up for us, just have a little feed of this and see if this reminds you of Jonah. See, you got it.
Good morning, Pooh Bear.
If it is a good morning, we tried to help.
However, yeah, now,
did I get your tail back on properly, Eeyore?
No matter. Most likely lives it again anyway.
Poor dear. You know, I may have just the thing.
Up, up, up you go.
There you are.
It's an awful nice tail, Kanga. Much nicer than the rest of me. It's not much of a tail, but I'm sort of attached to it.
Not much of a house. Just right for not much of a donkey.
Might take a day or two, but I'll find a new one.
End of the road. Nothing to do. And no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
Sounds a little bit like Jonah, doesn't it? I'm just going to pick out a few sentences in these two pages that we got. This is Jonah speaking. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon us. And even his message, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life. It's better for me to die than to live. And then towards the end of chapter 4, and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. So yeah, you could sort of describe Jonah's character, couldn't you, as a bit of an Eeyore character. Jonah may not have been a dynamic, fun-loving, eloquent preacher, but God was with him in power. God wanted to save the Ninevites, and he needed a willing mouthpiece. God has a plan and a purpose for each of us in his kingdom. We can't say my personality keeps me from speaking, doing, or being in his kingdom. Whether you're a Tigger like Sharon or an Eeyore like me, God says go and preach. None of us have a get-out clause from doing what God calls us to do. So that's the man, Jonah. And I want you to look at yourself and say, you know, what am I? Are you saying I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't go there? God actually called a man like Eeyore, a Jonah, to preach to the Ninevites. So none of us has a get-out clause in God's kingdom. The message. The only message that we get that Jonah spoke, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. If it was that easy to convert a whole city, it's amazing, isn't it, that God had worked in the lives of these people even before Jonah got there. I'm sure Jonah said a lot more, but actually this is the message that we have. What was Jonah's message? A message of love? No, it wasn't. It was a message of judgment, but God showing grace. This is the message of the cross, isn't it? Did the apostles preach a message of love? No, they preached a message of grace. Yes, God is love, but he is also holy. Sin cannot come before a holy God and stay there. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life in Jesus. And we've lost, haven't we, the sense in a political correct world of the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and therefore all are sinners. In Scripture, sin leads to death and separation from God. God is a God of grace. Jonah knew that God was gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. But God is also holy. God is also holy, and sin separates us from him. We dilute the gospel if we only speak of grace and not truth. John's declaration of Jesus was that he was full of grace and truth. The gospel message is one of salvation. Yes, it is a message of love, but ultimately it's a message of salvation. We need to be saved. That's the bottom line. That was the bottom line for Nineveh. They needed to be saved. They needed to get right with God, else they were going to be destroyed. That was Jonah's message. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. They had 40 days to get right. Both John the Baptist and Jesus preached a message of repentance. John 3, John the Baptist, repent for the kingdom of God is near. John chapter 4, Jesus says, repent for the kingdom of God is near. Yes, it is a message of love, but it's a message of judgment. that without God, without getting into his salvation, our destiny is judgment. The Ninevites responded to Jonah's message of judgment that Nineveh would be destroyed by repenting of their sin. So clear, isn't it, in that passage that Mark read to us, that they repented of their sin. To actually put on sackcloth and sit in dust was saying, look, I can't get any lower. I'm really sorry for this mess. And even the king did that. Even the king took off his royal robes. He repented. And that's what John the Baptist called people to do. That's what Jesus calls us to do, to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. God wanted Jonah to warn the Ninevites that their sin was leading to judgment. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. But God's nature, we sang it this morning, didn't we? God's nature is always to have mercy. Full of grace and compassion and abounding in love. And you'll see that next week in Jonah chapter 4. However, if sin was not repented of and forgiven, then sin would have brought destruction. And so it was for Nineveh in the future, actually. If you read the book of the prophet Nahum, it mentions Nineveh again, and whatever happened in between Jonah and that time, Nineveh was destroyed in the year 612 BC. And there's a message there too, isn't there, that repentance is always personal. We can't rely on our parents, our partners, our church, or anything else for repentance. The Ninevites couldn't rely on those that repented in Jonah's time 100 or so years later for their salvation. They needed to do the same for themselves. Repentance is always personal between us and God. And salvation is for today. We cannot rely on the past, what's happened in our families. Salvation is personal and it's for today. The message of the early church was one of salvation. After Peter's sermon at Pentecost, the people cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" And the Philippine jailer, the same. He said to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" So the message is one of salvation. Judgment, yes, if there is no repentance. That was the message of Jonah, and that was the message of the early church. And actually, there should be an urgency in that in our message, doesn't it? We get so brought into a politically correct world that sin is often taken out of our vocabulary. But sin is real, and it affects people's lives. So we looked at the man, we've looked at the message, the mission. What is the mission of the church? Well, the bottom line is, there's a lost world to save. Our commission is the same commission as the disciples had in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations. The same words that God spoke to Jonah twice. Verse 1 of Jonah chapter 1, go. Verse 1 of chapter 3, go. To the disciples, go. To us, go. To a lost world that needs salvation. Are we like Jonah? Just let you think about that for a while, are we? Are you like Jonah? Just as the word of the Lord came to Jonah with the words, go to and preach, so the word of the Lord to us is, go and preach. The book of Jonah in the Old Testament is a reminder that God wants all people to be saved. As I say, it's this amazing story in the history of Israel about a nation that were outside of Israel. So much so because they were God's enemies. But God still wanted them saved. By implication, the word salvation means being saved from. And if we are not saved, we are unsaved. Or perhaps a better way of putting it is, we're not safe. What does Jesus say? Talking to Nicodemus, he said, This is after that amazing verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then Jesus says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already." Is there not a word of judgment in that verse from Jesus himself? C.T. Studd is famously quoted as saying, "Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." And we tend to cringe and shrink back from the word hell today, don't we? But whatever hell is, it's real. I don't know what it is, but it's real. How do we know that? The person who spoke about it the most was the Son of God himself, Jesus. If you look in a concordance and look up the word hell, the person that spoke most about it was Jesus himself. To Jonah, Nineveh was a living hell. We heard that from Dave Hopwood in the first week. This was not an easy challenge for Jonah. Nineveh was about as bad as it can possibly get when it came to violence and immorality and idolatry. But God called Jonah to that city, that living hell. The truth of the gospel is all have sinned and fall short of God's glory and need to be saved. And salvation is found in no one else but Jesus. So what is the challenge to us this morning? Do we care that the people around us, whether neighbours, work colleagues, family, are not safe outside of a life given to Jesus? Are we in God's hands for him to do with us as he plans and purposes? Are we prepared to surrender all to him? Are we in a position where we can listen to God as Jonah did and then respond to his go?